This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
I have the desire that we might be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus. But before you can get there, you better find out about yourself. And so tonight, our teaching aspect is, do we really know ourselves? And try to understand ourselves a little better. It's very, very important. The gospel is so terribly great and important. But to know yourself is very important to appreciate the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So I've selected some hymns that I believe have some that aspect of knowing ourselves. And the first one is 698, Only a Sinner.
Oh,
I think it's important that we have the right balance. I said that last Sunday morning. And to get that right balance, we're in the period of the church calendar of Ash Wednesday and then Lent. Put a little dop of ashes on my head and think about something of a man who died on the cross. It's more than that, my friends. And I want us to present tonight. I want to present tonight how we really are. So fasten your seatbelts, because I'm not going to be here to play with us. And this affects me. It comes out of me to you. So don't think that I'm saying, well, he's just preaching at us. No, you don't understand it. But I was near a place where I was born physically today in Lewisburg. And I was also, the Lord saved me in the same place. You know, when you came forth, you cried. You were hungry. And we ought to always be hungry. If you're not hungry about the Word of God, then you haven't really come to know Christ. Because he gives you a hunger and thirst after righteousness. You come there, you sit there and say, preacher, you preach to me. I come that I have a need. Feed me. And give me the blessed living water of our Lord Jesus. But to do that, we are born as needy children. And the truth of the matter is, I want to prove to you that you were a problem child as I was. We often pick on Peter, but I don't think that that's unkind. 22nd chapter, I know Romans 1 is up there, but just be a little patient about Romans 1. But I'd like you to go to Peter first, because I think he portrays many times as we are as Americans, if not individually yourself. Peter's spirit in the 22nd chapter of Luke, if I start to read at verse 24, we have this occasion. I think you'll pick it up. There was a strife among them. Who? The disciples. In the 24th verse of Luke 22. So, that is, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, that is the Lord Jesus, Luke 22, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but that is greatest among you, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether... And by the way, I'm going to acknowledge that I can hardly see this, especially, but you hang on. Verse 27, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you, you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, Peter had this attitude, is, you know, these other fellows, Lord, I'm really the leader. I'm the leader. And he was one who would speak out. And I can do it. What's the problem? Academically, I can do it. Mechanically, what's the big deal? Technology, I can do it. And that's the generational spirit. And that's a spirit that I believe that you and I are into, and we're going to talk to people about knowing the Lord Jesus. You say, well, just tell them that they need to turn from their sin and trust Jesus. Oh, you got to tell more than that. Because that's not enough to really convict anybody. This business of the Lord said, about you going to the cross, and he said, no, Lord. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He had a lot of self-confidence. And I'm telling you, I judge rightly. This generation has a lot of self-confidence and self-centeredness. I am somebody. There's pride behind the whole thing. You may not be conscious of it. You know, it's amazing. Others can see you better than you can see yourself. Now, what do you mean by that? Did mother or dad say something to you? You know, son, you've got a problem. You see, oh, I never knew that. Did the wife ever say something to you, fellas? Did the husband ever say something to you, wives? That, you know, there's an area that we need to look at. Well, I never saw that. We really don't see ourselves spiritually as lost sinners. We haven't seen ourselves. How can you expect people to come to Christ if they haven't seen themselves? It's important that we know ourselves. The worldly philosophy was by the philosopher, old Greek philosopher, know thyself. But that simply meant this. Hey, listen, we're in this life. They didn't have a spiritual aspect. It said, in this life, you know, you got to, if you're going to mount anything, you got to have a little forthright in us, self-control. They really emphasize the fact that you can be a somebody, and they teach it in schools under years ago as under Quest. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. Now, that's really kind of teaching that a hell of a person to come to know Christ. No, that's not it. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, you go to a viewing and there's a man that's dead, and you say to that dead man, hey, Bill, get up. Bill, get up. He doesn't even move. And we are dead in trespasses and sin. How do you think that we'll ever reach a sinner if we don't have the Lord's power to save them first, and then he gives us faith and repentance? But we need to do this. We need to preach that the Lord, the Spirit of God, will take the Word of God and bring conviction. Boy, I remember years ago I was preaching, and I don't know what subject I was on, but there was a woman who got under a real conviction. She got under such conviction that she went to a Christian psychologist in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You know what he said to her? He said, I would recommend you didn't go to that church. You don't hear that much anymore about it's too strong a preaching. You don't hear that. But it's a matter of others can see it, but you can't see yourself. Remember Prophet Nathan? Old King David there, sitting on a throne. I'm the boss. I can take life, kill somebody just like that. So Nathan was sent by God. He said this story about a man took a lamb that was so precious to an owner. It's the only lamb he had. And he held it and he loved it and petted it. And this person took that man's lamb. And what did King David say? He said, that man shall be killed. And Nathan said, thou art the man. That had to do with Bathsheba. Thou art the man. See, we don't know ourselves. Hey, I'm a pretty good guy. It's amazing. Lost people take on the attribute of God. I am somebody. I have this attribute. I'm a pretty good person. Aren't you a pretty good person? We're all pretty good people. In fact, the matter is, for years I've been gone to prisons for a long time, starting back in Lysok prison for juveniles years ago. And invariably, prisoners, they say, well, I think I'm a pretty good guy. At least I'm not, I haven't done what so-and-so's done. I don't think I'm such a bad person. I think that's basically, somebody has a bad temper, blows up from time to time. Somebody said, you know, you got a real problem with that anger of yours. You really got a problem. He said, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's so bad. It's just one of those, I have a little character fault. And love comes a multitude of sins. So don't worry about me. I don't need to worry about anger and how I am. Just don't worry about it. It's nothing. And yet, it's so hard on the family. Technology has really gone places. Now they have holograms for preachers. You know what a hologram is? That they take a picture of a preacher or somehow, and when he's dead and gone, they just take this hologram and put it here, and the preacher's stand there, and you hear, there's the old preacher. There he is, he's preaching. And the churches are using this. Talk about technology. The person isn't there, it's just a hologram of the person. And he's there, he stands, preaching. Well, so what, all right? Suppose I pull that map down, the technology, that it's so arranged that your brain and my brain, the things that we've even thought here while we're in church, and it'd be automatic. First of all, bingo, there's Robin's thinking. Wow, there's Klotz thinking. And just go bing, bing, bing. What are you talking about? The nature of us having the attribute of God, and we're good folk, and there's nothing really wrong with us, and we're better than the average. We're just good people. And so good people don't really need to know the Lord Jesus. We have righteousness. We have self-righteousness. What do we need? Christ's righteousness. We are pretty good people. You going to drive that point home? I believe we need to do it if we want to effectively preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put your thoughts up there if you disagree with me. We'll just blink it, blink it, blink it for each one of us. Just the only time we're in church. We're not good people. Fact of the matter is, another way we can have some time together, and you know, if we think there are pretty good people, we talk about ourselves. We'll show the slides. It's Dollsville, Robbins. Just you, you, you. It's self, self, self. You're a good guy. It's all about me. Why, when I was a baby, and when I started to walk and so forth, I remember people making a fuss over me. And when I go with my dad to the bar rooms, and my dad would say, This is my right-hand man sitting here drinking soda pop, sitting up with the rest of the guy. My right-hand man. I went to a place one time and with my mom, and she knocked on the door, and the lady came, and I took my hat off. She thought that was terrific. I probably had a scratch of my head, but she thought I was being polite. She said, that was so wonderful that you took your hat off. Oh, I'm a wonderful guy. And then when in school, remember in school, I wasn't at the top of the class, but I was in the high 10th. And we could put the grades up. What did you get? Well, I got 96. Well, I got 98. That attitude. We don't see ourselves. No wonder we can't see salvation in the hearts of people if we all think we're all such good people. I think every one of us is born a Pharisee at heart. A righteousness, self-righteousness. Want to know more about me? Well, I was popular in high school and a little president of this biggest club and so forth. Student council, hey, I'm bored. But that's the way we talk. You say Pharisees? Well, in Romans, and I'm going back to Romans, but the 10th chapter, not the first chapter yet, Romans. This, I believe we're born like this in the 10th chapter in verse 1. Do you know yourself? Oh, yeah, I know myself. I don't. You just check yourself out, preacher. I don't have to check myself. Paul, by the Spirit of God, said, brethren, verse 1, 10th chapter, Romans, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Amen. I want my people to be saved too. But he said that, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. A zeal for God. Well, you see, I went to church all my life. I had perfect Sunday school records. Some of you can talk that perfect Sunday school record. My mom carried me to church. They gave me they Christianized me with water, so they said, as children. And I've been to Sunday school, and I sang in the choir, and I was a member of the church, and I taught Sunday school, and just keep right on going, going. Yes, sir. Romans 10, verse 2. He said, I bear the Israelites. I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. Yeah, but not according to knowledge. You mean all that membership in the church and all those things and things I did for the church religiously and a teacher and the bib. Yep. What about it? It was a zeal, but not according to knowledge. I'm sorry. That's a sad picture. That's sad. That isn't going to bring salvation. So, if the truth of the matter is, if you won't speak for yourself, I'll speak for myself, the way we are outside of Christ, we're messed up pretty badly. You can still say you're a good person and go on ahead and see whether you'll make it to heaven, because your self-righteousness and my self-righteousness will not get us there. We need another righteousness. I'll tell you. You know, when I was teaching school, there would be misbehavior problems. and I would do some discipline, and the guy said, I'm telling my parents on you, and they'll go to the school board, and they'll talk about you. I said, okay, Bob, it's all right. You just go ahead. No problem back in those days. And the parents, of all the dumb things, they come to their misbehaving children to their defense. Now, you moms, be careful here. And you dads. Hey, I want you to know about my boy. I want you to know about my son. He's strong-willed. And I would hope you'd understand that. Yeah, he disrupts the whole class. Just is a bother all the time in school. But the parents will rationalize and say, well, it's just the way he is, and he gets to be a teenager. It's a matter of the hormones, and it's more than the hormones. It is a child that's been spoiled rotten, and some of us have been spoiled, and we think we're just good people, and everything's fine, and I don't need Jesus Christ because I'm good enough. Oh, I'll go to church if you want me to, but hey, I'm not. And then we wonder why people don't get saved. Give them a little Bible, zeal of godliness. They need a little Bible study. And let them, give some verses. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, good people don't deserve to go to hell. No, sir. We just don't deserve to go to hell. Do you really think you deserve to go to hell? Oh, I know you made a decision for Christ. I know you've probably been immersed, but do you really think that you deserve to go to hell the way you were brought up? That Romans 1 chapter that I have on the board here, that's so frightful. And it's speaking about us as lost sinners who don't know Christ. verse 18. Where are you? Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Boy, there's a lot of that going around town. If you can't understand that, spend some time on it for yourself. Let's go on. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I can't stand before God and say, nobody ever told me that I was a wretched sinner. I even sang Amazing Grace. And there are those who like to take out to save a wretch like me. I don't know what you mean by being a wretch. Verse 21, because that when thou knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Hey, I went to school, and I'm intelligent. I got a pretty good IQ. I got some degrees. Yeah, well, so what? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Not all, but there are those who are foolish. What's worse than a fool? My old boss would say to me, Johnson, what's worse than a fool? And I'd, what do I care? An educated one. Well, you don't know anything about educated ones. They're all wonderful, good people. Yeah, let's read some more. Verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to incorruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's not for today. And that was back in the old Bible days. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the women, they burned in their lust to one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat. Oh, that's the lifestyle. That's all right. The Word of God's wrong on that business. No, it isn't. This is God speaking. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Oh, Lord. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Say, God is angry with us. Did you know that? No, I'm a good person. God is angry with you. Outside of Jesus Christ, his wrath is upon you, my friend. And I want to tell you something. You were a cute little boy and a teenager and all that, and so lovely as a girl. When you were, you know, so lovely. But I got to tell you something. If I were to go back in the 30s, the 20s, and I bring forth a little young man like that and have him stand right here, if I could buy a hologram, have him stand here and say, well, how are you, Hitler? Are you a pretty good boy? Adolf, I'm talking to you. Are you a pretty good boy? How about it, Mom? How about it, Dad? Yes, Adolf is a real nice boy, and you were a nice boy, and you're a nice girl, but the Bible's telling me that by nature, We have an inclination to sin. Oh, well, I don't want to talk about that. Then don't expect anybody ever to get saved if you're going to minimize this and say it's not important. All you do is just give a gospel. Give the gospel, the whole gospel. Why do we need the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, we just... No, no, no. It's more than giving them some new religion. Back in Genesis chapter 4. Do you really know yourself? Do you? You think you really know yourself? You sure you got it down? Well, I'm a sinner. Well, I can say that too. I'm a sinner. I know a problem about saying I'm a sinner. Yeah, well, do you know what it means? In this fourth chapter of Genesis, and I turn there for a reason because I've been through here just recently, and I got to a place where in reading the Bible, I said, boy, oh boy, that whole chapter. How in the world would I ever preach on that? If so-and-so was born, and he begat, and he died. So-and-so, his name, born, begat a son, he died. Bam, 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 bam. I said, woo! How would you preach on that? I'll tell you, that's very powerful. You and I are sitting here tonight, standing here tonight, and I know your name, you know my name, and you were born, and you have children, and you're going to die. And the wages of sin is death. And I want to tell you something. We're on death row. That's how serious it is. That is eternal separation from God. Ask the Lord Jesus what he means about going to hell. I want to say something to you, friends. The wrath of God. So a whole chapter, so-and-so's name, and he begat a son, and he died. We're going to die. Now, what is death? Oh, the light turns out. That's about what it amounts to. Woo. I don't know. I didn't die, so I don't know. I were going to go to hell. That's what the preacher says. Oh, come on. You say that you're intelligent? You have a zeal of godliness? Do you really know what's going to happen? But this chapter 4 is still interesting. We have this evil inclination to sin. And we take, you know, we have this business of Cain. He killed his brother. Where are we? Down in the fourth chapter. How far down? Well, we can go down there about 17. What about Cain who killed his brother Abel? Well, he went out from the presence of the Lord, and then he, that's verse 16, he dwelt in the land of Nod and east of Eden. And he Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and she bare Enoch. And he built a city. Who did? Cain did. And called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Well, unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad began Mahujal, and Mahujal began Methuselah, and Methuselah began Lamech. Well, so what? Well, Lamech took unto him two wives. And the name of the one was Adah, and the other was Zillah. And so what? And Adab, she bare Jabal. Well, what about him? He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Oh, I see, yeah, husbandmen. Yes. Well, what about this? What about more about Cain? Well, Cain, you know, he killed his brother. Yep. Verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. And who about Jubal? What about him? Well, he's the father of all such a head of the harp and the organ. Well, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. And sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamed, he said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Yeah. That's give me some genealogy about Cain. I don't think that's anything to jump up and down about. But if you're technically minded, you'd say, hey, preacher, listen. I understand that the prodigy of Cain, you know, who was that wicked one who killed Abel? Yay. And he was a real sinner. Yeah. And what about him? Well, his prodigy? Look what it did. They helped technology. Woo-yee. We're in for it. What happened? Well, Cain, he built a city. That's pretty terrific. And yet down deep, God wants us to be, I believe, people who know a little bit about the earth. So ladies, even flowers are good, and they are beautiful. But men, it didn't hurt you either to learn a little bit about the earth, not just the mechanical. But here we go. Here we go. And so not only did Cain build a city, all right, a city. Is city a good thing? And then his son Lamech, he took two wives. Well, so what? Originally, it wasn't so back in the Garden of Eden. Today, we have all kinds of situations. Lie, cheat. Divorces of all sort. What are you trying to say? I'm not trying to say anything except that the Bible says this is the way, the inclination of us without Jesus Christ. This is how serious it is. Polygamy? It's sinful inclinations. We don't believe that it's too bad. They say the generation, what is it, 18 through 30 or whatever that generation is, that they don't think, and by survey, and they're saying they don't think that same-sex marriage is too bad. Not too bad, you know. And divorce, abortion is not too bad. Not too bad. What about Jabel? Verse 20. Well, he was a real dweller in tents, and not only that, he knew how to really raise animals. That's what it's saying, really. What about Jubal? Oh, man, if you like music, woo-hoo! This is Jubal. He invented Jubal. Nothing wrong with music. You got to be something wrong with the preacher if you think there's anything wrong with music. Oh, really? Turn on the radio. AM. Go ahead. Turn it on. Nothing wrong with music. Music is all good. You sure? You see, we've been taught certain things. Now there, look at this. Sinners, but verse 22, that they were artificers, they could work in brass and in iron. Isn't that wonderful? That would be a great invention. That was marvelous. That's technology. That's wonderful. Way, way back there. I mean, that is something to jump up and about. You say, what's the point? The point of it is we can be sinners and we can contribute and there can be some benefits to what we do, materially speaking. And if I have a craft, I'm really somebody. If I can play beautifully, I'm really somebody. If I can raise animals and do a good job of breeding animals, I'm somebody. I'm really of somebody. And that goes right along with being lost. Well, I just heard today, this generation, we're having a real problem with AIDS, HIV. And what we need to do, we need to get people that can find a chemical, a medicine to prevent this business, this AIDS and this HIV. If we could find something that would really wipe it out, that would be the answer that we need. But according to this blessed book, it says, oh no, that's not the answer. The answer is you're lost and you're going to hell. You have God's wrath upon you and you need to know who you are and where you're going and you need to know that there is hope. Boy, I need some hope. Not from the philosophers, but from this blessed book. It's through Jesus Christ. And He's the one. It says that we're enmity with God. The natural man says, there is no God. Leave me alone, God. I'm good enough. I have my own righteousness. I have my own attributes that take after you. I'm the boss. Let me alone. God says, you and I are at odds. my anger is upon you, my wrath's upon you, and you're going to die and go to hell unless we have peace. And it says, peace? How in the world can we have peace? I don't want you and you don't want me. Let me alone, God. And we come to see ourselves as we are. See, oh Lord God, I need peace. We need to be reconciled. How in the world can I have peace with God? And God was so merciful and good to us that the Lord Jesus is the answer to that problem. He's one who took our hail and our wrath. You don't believe that? Oh, my friend, you deserved it. No, not me. I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. You deserve God's wrath. Because you, not only in thought, but in word and deed, put your thoughts up on the screen and prove that you're a sinner, lost, and deserving of the wrath of God. But oh, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm pleased. And if you come to know my blessed Son, we'll have peace, the peace with God, and I'll give you also the peace of God. Somebody asked R.C. Sproul one time, are we all gone to heaven? He said, all the innocent are gone to heaven. I tell you, take that word innocent. And where innocence is in Jesus Christ only. He took our guilt. He took all of us. And we are innocent in the sight of God. Hey, we got to get this thing right. And quit thinking that we are such wonderful people. My son, my daughter, my grandchildren, they're all just such wonderful people. They need Jesus Christ. And we're here to pray about these matters. I don't hear prayer much about lost sinners. I don't know that any parent has got down on their knees and said, God, my son is dying. He's lost. Have you been on your knees for any of your kids? Don't look at me as if I'm a nut. You check it out. I don't think we know what we are. I really don't think we know what we are outside of Christ. We don't see ourselves as we are. Others can perhaps tell us a little bit of ourselves. I tell you, thank God for the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross. Don't give me an Ash Wednesday. Don't give me a Lent. That's just religiosity and having me be self-righteousness. Put a little dot in my head. Have me observe Easter with a finery and dress up so beautifully. And inwardly, oh, like a grave. White in sepulchres. Tell me about another man if you're going to give me some hope. Yeah, I'll tell you about another man. His name was Enoch. I told you I was in the Old Testament. Enoch. Enoch, he was a friend of God. Well, so on. What does it mean to be a friend of God? He walked with God, it says. He walked with God, the Creator. Yes, the one that sustains us, the one who gave us life. And watches over and walked with him. And then God took him. Friendship. Ew. Like two friends. And Amos says, now wait a minute, don't get excited here. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Don't you just get an idea that we can just walk with Jesus? I walk today where Jesus walked, and I get all singing up about that. Wait a minute. It means I walk as a friend. Friend with a friend. Do you know what that is? Do you have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ? You say, I walk with the Lord. Do you talk with Him? He said, you know, when Christ does the job to us, He makes us new creatures in Christ. New creatures. And we have His blessed Spirit. Oh, you say, preacher, you got plenty of fault yourself. Hey, how I know it. But I want to tell you something. If you see yourself, you might see how many faults you have. Let's put your thoughts up on the board, up on the screen. If you think that you're just hunky-dory, are you trusting that you're, I'm a pretty good person? I'm amazed at some people, they brag about what they are, and their old man gave them the place. They brag about how prosperous they've been. Dad gave them the place, the land, and all that, and so forth. And they brag about so successful. If God hasn't blessed us, you'd find out how successful. I just tell you, friends, there just needs to be a genuineness about some of this stuff. We just can't carry on just through religiosity, having a zeal of godliness, but lacking the real knowledge about it. Do we really have knowledge about who we are? Are we trusting that we are just good people and we have some religion? And maybe we took Jesus as our Savior and they've said a little prayer way back there somewhere. A dead man can't pray. God can only change him. Salvation is of God. We're to pray. We're to speak. God miraculously takes the Word of God and bears it home and changes hearts and saves sinners. Are you trusting this Lord Jesus? Are you still trusting who you are? And you don't even know who you are yet. Most of us have no idea how we really are outside of Jesus Christ. Our Father, look upon us. We are in need. God, these hearts need to be broken. We're so righteous. We are so instilled in it all the way from a little baby on up that we are somebodies, but without Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary and His dying in our place, becoming our sins. Oh, Father, thank You for the cross of Christ. Give us, Lord, life. Give us that strength that we need to live in this life that we might please You and that You might receive honor and glory. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com. Thank you.